This is the Locked On Bengals podcast on a Thursday night. So much to get to. It's great to have you in. I'm James Erpine on Twitter, at James Erpine, at Locked On Bengals. If you're new to the podcast, thank you so much for tuning in. Basically, my goal, the goal of this podcast, it's a daily Bengals podcast to peel back the curtain and give you an inside look at the Cincinnati Bengals. If you want to subscribe, you can at iHeartRadio app, the iHeartRadio app, iTunes, Megaphone, LockedOnBengals.com as well. Dave Lapham, Bengals color man, Bengals legend, joining me in about 60 seconds from right now. But I got to dive into this, just discuss this a second. This offseason is such an important offseason in the direction of the Bengals. Obviously, you have the head coach and who they pick and who succeeds Marvin. But there's going to be so many decisions that affect Geno Atkins and the rest of his prime, A.J. Green's prime. Should they keep Andy Dalton? Should they move on from Andy Dalton? Should they draft a quarterback and keep Andy Dalton? There are so many questions, and the number one spot for off-season Bengals news is this daily podcast, the Locked On Bengals podcast. So keep it locked here. We will get the experts. We will get all of the different beat writers, insiders, evaluators for the draft that you need, and I will be down at the stadium even during the off-season, getting you news, notes, etc. So it's great to have you in, and it's great that you're here. Thank you so much for listening to the Locked On Bengals podcast. I've been in for Mo Egger this week on ESPN 1530, and I talked with Dave Lapham earlier today, and we talked about a bunch of stuff during this interview that you're going to hear. And one thing I discussed with Dave, and I asked him about, because everyone's pointing at Marvin, and oh, Marvin's a big reason why they were 12-4 and 15, and then they've declined because Marvin Lewis has declined or because the team hasn't gotten the coaching, the proper coaching that it needs. And while I understand that, I think you could also knock the front office for letting Andrew Whitworth go, for drafting, rather, Cedric Obuehi and Jake Fisher. So to me, that's part of it as well. And I asked Dave Lapham if the front office holds or shares some of the blame for the decline the past couple seasons.
Yeah, I still think that they're capable of being that type of football team. I mean, you saw it in Green Bay, you saw it in half against Pittsburgh Steelers. You've seen flashes of it, but the problem is, you know, doing it on a consistent basis. And I think that as of right now, with respect to the offensive line, you can either say, well, they misdrafted, or they misdeveloped. You know, are the athletes good enough to play in the National Football League and they just haven't been brought along properly? Or are they not good enough to play in the National Football League? I think that's a split decision within the organization. I don't think there's a clear-cut answer. And I guess the only way we're going to find out is if, a new staff comes in with a new offensive line coach, a new way to attack the line of scrimmage, and see if those guys can indeed play in the National Football League. Because obviously, you know, it's no secret that I think, honestly, James, we talked about it way back. I mean, if the offensive line had gelled, I think they probably could have won 10 games, but it didn't. It took too long to, let's put it that way. It started to gel a little bit in the last month or so. It took way too long, and they struggled to win 6 games, which is what I thought might be the case if that took place.
Dave, obviously the offensive line had something to do with Andy Dalton's 2017 season, but what are your thoughts on what he's done this year, and has he regressed at all?
I think that he got affected by the ineffective play of his offensive line. I thought that I'm not going to say he played scared. I think that's dramatic, but he had happy feet at times, and you know, made throws that he doesn't normally make at times. So I think that the overall effect of the offensive line play got in his head, and he had his stretch, obviously 193 straight pass attempts without an interception, but then he had his games like he had in the opener against Baltimore. There was plenty of blame to spread around for that. A couple of his passes were deflected. The offensive line got overpowered at times. There wasn't vision to see down the football field. The ball goes off Suggs' head for interception. Suggs sacks him a couple times, a strip sack. I mean, so it's going to be interesting to see what happens in Baltimore on Sunday after what took place in the opener. You know, they start the season on a down note. Will they end the season on an uptick or a down note against the same football team? But I do think that Andy Dalton was not the same quarterback based on the offensive line play. And it's understandable. I mean, any quarterback under pressure is not the same guy. And Andy Dalton certainly wasn't the same guy.
Dave Lapham is our guest. Obviously, looking at the 2017 season and what we've seen from Andy Dalton, do you think the Bengals would consider drafting a quarterback early in the 2018 NFL draft?
Yeah, I don't think you rule anything out. You know, with the pick you're going to have, if in fact you do end up with a top 10 pick, if they win, they may not be top 10 or they may be just outside of the top 10. But what do you do? Do you say, hey, we're good enough with Andy Dalton to win a lot of games and to win a Super Bowl if we can make sure we've got the offensive line in good shape? And would that mean you take one of those stud offensive linemen if anybody's still there?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, usually if you're going to take a franchise-type quarterback, you take him with that first pick of the draft, which in the Bengals' case could be a top 10. You know, you don't take an offensive lineman and hope. You know, after that, it happens. I mean, you know, Tom Brady was a sixth-round pick. Joe Montana was a third-round pick. I mean, you can always find exceptions to every rule, but the high percentages, the ones that pan out, you know, to be franchise-type guys are usually ones taken pretty early in the draft.
A lot of people are going to speculate and wonder and guess. How impossible is it to guess what Mike Brown is thinking right now, assuming that Marvin Lewis's last game is this Sunday?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I mean, the only one that knows is him. That's for sure. I raised this last night on our show. I said, what if, you know, there's the coaching carousel that got big, and say 10 guys were let go, and say Hugh Jackson's out there, and you can't really think. Oh, I don't know if I could sell him as a head coach, but if you come back here as a coordinator, I could sell that. And Vance Joseph's out there, and Marvin says, hey. My relationship dictates, Mike. I've got Hugh Jackson come back to coordinate my offense and Vance Joseph to coordinate my defense. Now, that's given that Paul Gunther has moved on maybe, you know, to one of the 10 head coaching openings. You know, that's like, wow. Because to me, whoever they decide to coach this football team next, coordinators are key. When Marvin Lewis had his great run, who did he have as coordinators? He had Jay Gruden. He had Hugh Jackson. He had Mike Zimmer. You know, he had Paul Gunther. So I think your coordinators are key. The head coach is important. There's no question. But the guy that coaches the players more on a day-to-day basis with, you know, schematic decisions and all that are the coordinators. And then down to the position coaches, I would say to whoever my candidate is, whoever's on my list, start at 20, cut to 10, cut to 5, whatever the case may be, who's your staff? I want names, numbers, emails. I want to be able to contact them and find out for sure if they're your staff. Not that they're just telling you one thing and then telling me another. I want to know who your coaching staff is. That would be a big, big bearing in the decision that I might make.
Dave, there's no way, and there's been plenty of speculation, especially nationally, that the Bengals could bring in Hugh Jackson. And I totally get it. I understand it. I think fans would have been on board with it 2 years ago. But we expect Hugh to go 1-31 in 2 years in Cleveland. If they fired him, you think that the Bengals could realistically bring him in as their next head coach?
I'll tell you what, it'd be hard to sell 1-31 from a PR standpoint. I mean, it really would. I really respect Hugh Jackson. I think the organization would like to evaluate him on what he did here in Cincinnati, which was stellar.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every single position that he touched got better, whether it be assistant special teams, assistant secondary, running back coach, coordinator, wide receivers, when he developed, you know, Chad and TJ. You know, TJ was a late-round pick. Hugh did a hell of a job developing TJ Hushmanzada. So everybody that he touched here in Cincinnati got better. Now, you know, obviously you are what your record says you are, as the great Bill Parcells said. So Hugh Jackson with a 1-31 mark as a head coach, to come here as a head coach, nationally they get crucified, they get crushed. But I think locally, you know, people might be able to understand it a little bit. But 1-31 would be a tough hurdle to overcome. Really would.
We'll get back to my interview with Dave Lapham in just a second here on the Locked On Bengals podcast. But first, a word from my bookie. Bowl season is here, and it's time to get in the action with my bookie. Are you sick and tired of getting the runaround when it comes to your payout? Every time I mention my bookie, that's the biggest thing. How long does it take to get the payout? My bookie gets you your payout very, very fast when you win. You get paid fast, just a couple business days. Sign up at mybookie.ag today. Where you bet, just as important as who you're betting on. I trust them. I've used them. I've been on a couple 3-team parlays. Haven't used them yet for bowls. I'm going to get in on these college football. I haven't placed the bets on the bowls yet because here locally, UC obviously didn't make a bowl game. But tomorrow, Ohio State, USC, that's a big one. with a lot of people going with Ohio State. Hard to bet on my end against Sam Darnold, but I think I have to. I think Ohio State's the better team, even though USC has the better quarterback. Join now in my bookie. We'll match your deposit with up to a 50% bonus. Use promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. If you're going to bet, the only place to do it is mybookie.ag. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON. He's Dave Lapham. I'm James Erpine. A couple more questions for you, Dave. What's one thing you'll miss about Marvin Lewis if he does, in fact, coach his last game this Sunday?
Yeah, I think the consistency of Marvin Lewis, I mean, it drives some people batty, but I think one of the things that that he did a great job of is maintaining his poise. You know, that's something that Josh McDaniel, when he went out to Denver, there was some emotional instability and, you know, real high highs, real low lows. Marvin's, you know, pretty much even keel, and I know it drives people nuts. Look at his expression. Doesn't he ever get – and nothing ever affects this guy. But, you know, if you saw Tom Landry, Bud Grant, you know, a lot of people, I do think that in the long run that was probably a strength of his, although at times, just like anybody at times, you'd like to see a little bit of emotion, yeah. You like to see a little bit of reaction. But I do think, you know, on balance, I'd like to see more emotional stability than the coach losing his mind, you know, every single game. But, you know, sometimes, like I said, sometimes it's warranted and justified and all those kind of things. I think probably that part of it. And he's very accessible. I mean, for a head coach, you know, in the NFL, he does make himself accessible. And you know, sometimes his press conferences, you know, you wish you'd get a little bit more. But, man, in New England and, yeah, and you name other places, there's, you know, all you have is your reference point. You don't have other media members' reference points around the country to draw upon. And it's he hasn't been very, very consistent to work with. And that part of it I do appreciate, you know, about him. And there's no question that he did a great job in terms of finding out what moves his players took, you know, and not treating everybody the same from a personality standpoint. He took the time to find out what was the player's hot money button and things that would make sense to one wouldn't make sense to another.
I don't know if he will want to. Obviously, we have no idea. He won't even say whether or not he wants to be back next year necessarily, which I get. I understand it. We'll find out soon enough. But I think with all the vacancies expected across the NFL, Marvin will probably get some interviews if he wants them. And I could totally see him being a head coach elsewhere next year if, again, it's a big if, he wants to do it.
Yeah, who knows if his agent hasn't already explored that? Who knows if he doesn't have an offer in his pocket? I mean, who knows anything? These agents, who knows if the agent has something to do with what transpired with Adam Schefter because he wanted it out there. He still wanted a coach, but not in Cincinnati. And that may have started a ball rolling. And then you can, the agent can talk to organizations, general managers, front office people from other clubs. You never know. But, you know, there's tampering. I do know that. If a guy is under contract, you better be awfully careful about what you do. There are tampering, you know, restrictions in terms of what goes on in the National Football League. But you know that there's communication, and Adam Schefter gets worked by everybody for job possibilities and job interviews, and whether it be ESPN employees or current coaches or college coaches wanting to be NFL coaches, whatever the case may be, Schefter gets worked left and right. It's a two-way street. You wash my hand, I'll wash yours.
Lap, I've obviously there's a couple internal candidates that the Bengals will explore, whether it's Darren Simmons or Paul Gunther, and at least give them an interview if Marvin does in fact move on and they're looking for a new head coach next season. I look at that and I say, because a lot of fans feel like they need a culture change and someone new, something fresh, something different, which I totally understand after 15 years. I'm not sure Paul Gunther or Darren Simmons would be that. What are your thoughts on those two potentially succeeding Marvin?
Oh, I think they'll get interviews. There's no question about that. I do think that the way the Bengals operate, and I wouldn't be surprised if Bill Lazor gets one as well. I think all three of the coordinators will probably be interviewed by the organization. And I think that, again, what if one of the coordinators says, here's who I have for a coaching staff? And it just blows you away, you know, because who knows who's friends with who mm-hmm. in the National Football League? You really don't know until these kind of opportunities present themselves. If one of these assistant coaches one of these coordinators, whatever group it may be, position-wise, if they have an unbelievable staff at their disposal, you got to think about it. You really have to think about it. So I don't rule anybody out just based on that one individual, unless you just know you can't work with them, unless it's just there's no way I can even work with this guy. I think it's the whole body of coaches. I really do. I think that's the underrated part of this thing.
A lot of people, Lappin, and you've been great with your time, last question for you. A lot of people look at the ninth overall pick in John Ross, and they already automatically say bust. You're obviously more in tune with the organization, with the thoughts on Ross. How do they feel about their first-round pick moving forward?
I think they still feel that he's got the physical attributes that they saw, and his body betrayed him. And, you know, I just make the comparison to William Jackson. William Jackson's rookie year, his body betrayed him. He tore his pec early on, and he did everything, observed everything his rookie year mentally, took mental reps, worked out, rehabbed as best he could. John Ross did the same thing. So, you know, you got to hope that next year John Ross has the type of year and year two that William Jackson has had this year. William Jackson, in my mind, he's on the cusp of the Pro Bowl already.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you draft a guy that high, you're doing it for a reason. And in both cases, I think they felt like that their physical attributes warranted that pick. And then the other thing you can't control is the injury factor. And hopefully John Ross, the football gods are much kinder to him next year than they were this year.
He's Dave Lapham. Lap, I know it's the 4:25 kickoff. I hope it's a quick game and you can get back and enjoy New Year's here in town. I appreciate the time, as always.
Appreciate it, James. I think I'm going to be an Uber service for my wife on New Year's Eve. That's about it.
Well, I might need a ride, too, so I might call you.
There you go.
Thanks, Lap.
Take care, James.
That was Dave Lapham. That's fun. I love talking to Lap. He's the best. Always coming on. I know I teased that we were going to have Paul Dana Jr. on, but his phone when I interviewed him was not the best, and we ended up getting Lap anyway. I got Lap on the show, and I figured you'd want to hear that. The interesting thing to me there is the coordinator situation, man. Could you imagine if, and I don't think it will be the case, but could you imagine if Bill Lazor was this team's next head coach? Darren Simmons? Even Paul Gunther? No one would be happy except the Gunther family or the Simmons family or the Lazor family. Like, the Lazor jokes were fun when he was offensive coordinator for about a week. Lazor beams! And then as soon as the offense went in the toilet, they're still 32nd in the league in total offense. That's unbelievable. In a league that has Jacoby Brissett throwing passes in Indy, DeShone Kizer in Cleveland, in all these other crappy offenses, the Bengals' offense has been the crappiest in total offense. Brutal. I'm James Rapine. Thank you so much for listening to the Locked On Bengals podcast. I'm pretty sure I'm not coming into the studio tomorrow, but I'm going to do a podcast from the lovely confines of my home office. So you will have a Locked On Bengals podcast tomorrow, the final regular season edition of the Locked On Bengals podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. You can subscribe on iTunes, the iHeartRadio app, Megaphone, LockedOnBengals.com. I'm on Twitter, at James Rapine, at LockedOnBengals. Until tomorrow, thank you so much for listening to the Locked On Bengals podcast.